up this morning's passage in your handout, but if you prefer to open your Bibles, open your devices, that's fine too. But let's focus on the Word of God. It comes from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the first chapter, verses 14 to 23. And this is what it says. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Well, this morning's message is titled, "God Speaks His Great Love." Yes, he does. Oh, I'm sorry. "God speaks his great love to heavenly lights and the creatures of the sea and sky." Pastor.
Thank you, Carrie, and good morning. It is indeed a good morning because God has great love for his people Israel and for the whole world through Israel in Jesus Christ. You see, God created the universe in the beginning, the heavens and the earth. No one was there to witness it, not a single man or woman. Yet he created it. And in his word, he tells us how it happened. He tells us that in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. There was no form to it, and there was just darkness. Then God created light. And he created light before he created the sun and the moon and the stars. The sun and the moon and the stars were created on the fourth day. The light that came before the fourth day came through Jesus. Jesus himself was the physical light, just as he is the spiritual light in our hearts when we come to know him through faith. But on the fourth day, we see that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So let us get to the text. Today we're looking at the fourth and fifth days and learn how God did it and what it means for us that he did it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, it is wonderful that you created the universe, Father, and that you did it in 6 days, Father. We don't understand how you could create the universe in 6 days, For when we look at your world, we think that it must have taken much longer, Father, for it to happen, Father. But in your word, you tell us that you did indeed create it in 6 days, and you did create light before the sun, Father, and plants before the sun, Father, and that you did create animals and sea creatures and birds all at once, just in one day, many different kinds, Father. How that can happen in one day, for there to be many different kinds of birds and sea creatures and animals, Father, we can't understand it, Father. You did it by your understanding, by your wisdom, Father. And how you created us out of the dust of the earth, Father, the living organisms that we are, we're made in your image, Father. All our cells and our heart and our brains and our hands and our feet, you created by speaking. You spoke us into existence and created us out of the dust, Father. How humbling that is before you, Father. What can we do, Father, that you cannot do so much more, Father? We can do nothing like you can do, no matter how advanced our abilities, no matter how advanced our intelligence, Father, no matter how advanced whatever wisdom we may have, Father, you can create with just a word, Father. How amazing that is, Father. Help us to see more of this, Father, from your word as we look at days 4 and 5. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 14, we start with. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, this was the sky, to separate the day from the night. Of course, God already had a day and a night, as he says in the previous verses, but now there was an official separation between the time of day and the time of night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Point number one. God spoke as he opened the fourth day of his creation, and there were immediately heavenly lights to make a formal separation between the day and the night. These lights would mark the passing of time in signs and seasons, in days and years. Rather than confuse the length of the 6 days of his creation, these would only more clearly establish that God had done his work in 6 actual days. You see, during the first 3 days, there was a day and a night, and there were 24 hours in each day. But if there was any question over whether these were 24-hour days, on the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars so that we would know that the last 3 days definitely had a sunrise and a sunset just as normal. So we know that the last 3 days were real days, and thus the first 3 days must also have been real days, because the text of what the Bible says, the words themselves, do not change during the last 3 days. Psalm 104, verses 19 through 23 says, He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. God, you make darkness and it is night. When all the beasts of the forest creep about, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Point number two. God established the moon to mark the different seasons. We see that when the moon changes in the sky as it reflects the light of the sun, the different seasons pass. Summer, winter, fall, spring, not in that order, of course, which would happen under God's command, these seasons, in his providence. The sun would set always at the time that God desired. The sun would set when God calls it to set, when his providence allows it to set. And the beasts of the forest, not yet created on this fourth day, will creep about in the darkness of night according to God's desires. He is the one who oversees that. The young lions will roar in askance to God for the food that he provided them. He provides the food in his sovereign control, and they cry out in askance for the food that he offers. In the morning, God will command the rise of the sun, and the lions will go to sleep. And man does his work according to the rising and the setting of the sun, which God created and established. You see, as the sun rises, we wake up and we do our work. And as the sun sets, we go to sleep. And for most of history, we had no artificial light at all, other than fire. So man would wake up with the sun and go to sleep as it sets. That is the order that God established when he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Genesis 1, 15 and 16. And let them, the sun, the moon, and the stars, be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So God spoke and it happened. The sun, the moon, and the stars came into existence. It says, and it was so after he spoke. And God made the two great lights, the sun and the moon, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And it was so. God created two great lights, the sun and the moon, to mark the daytime and the nighttime. And God created the stars to demonstrate his glory. How did the stars demonstrate his glory? We see in Job 38, verses 31 through 33. God asked Job, can you, Job, bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you, Job, lead forth the Maseroth in their season Or can you guide the bear with its children? These are all constellations and stars. Do you, Job, know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Point number three. God spoke with authority, because every time he speaks is with authority. God spoke to Job and asked him if he could bind the stars. He asked Job if he could lead forth the stars in their season or guide them and their children. God asked Job if Job knew the ordinances of the heavens or could establish their rule on the earth. You see, God demonstrates his glory and power in the stars of the sky. How does he do that? Nothing that any of us can do will have any effect on God's binding, guiding, ordinances, or rule in the stars of the heaven. You see, no matter how advanced we get, no matter how powerful we are, no matter what technology we have, we can do nothing to affect the sun and the stars. Even the moon, even though we can land on it, we can't alter its orbit. If we wanted to, we shouldn't. Because if we did, it would cause all sorts of problems for us. You see, God is the one who controls the sun, the moon, and the stars. They have a fixed order that he has set. And we can't do anything about that. We have no power over him in his control of these heavenly lights. You see, the stars demonstrate that we are completely powerless to change God's providential rule of our lives. We can't change the limits that he puts on our lives, as I said last week. Genesis 1, 17 and 18. And God set them, the heavenly lights, in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Just like the light that came from Jesus on the first day, God set the sun, the moon, and the stars to separate the light from the darkness. Why did he do this? Well, we're going to see. Why would he create new light sources when he already had a light source in himself? Well, we're going to see that the new light sources, the sun, the moon, and the stars, demonstrate his control over the universe and demonstrate his faithful love for us in his faithfulness, in the faithfulness of the rising of the sun and the light from the moon and the light from the stars. Point number four. Because God spoke the sun was set in the sky to give light to the earth, rising and setting each day so that it might measure the 24 hours of the day that God had established. The moon also provided light through the work of the sun. It reflected it. The sun, the moon, and the stars would help to separate the light and the darkness that God had already created. And God took note of how it was good. There was no sin or death during the first 6 days of his creation. Psalm 136, 1 through 9. So what do these create? What does creation demonstrate for us in our lives? Give thanks to the Lord. Have gratitude. Be thankful, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, not that there are other gods, but that he is greater than everything in the universe, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. So how do we know that his steadfast love endures forever? We see in verse 5 through 9. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters in creation, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then we see, to him who made the great lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Point number 5. We are to give thanks and praise to the Lord for all of his creation, because in his creation, he speaks his great love as he speaks things into existence. He spoke his great love as he did great wonders in creation. He spoke his great love when, by his understanding, he made the heavens. He spoke his great love as he spread out the earth above the waters. He spoke his great love as he made the heavenly lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He spoke his great love as he made the sun to rule over the day and the moon and stars to rule over the night. God speaks with steadfast, enduring love, and the universe obeys his command. So let us learn more about this steadfast love of God. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. Behold, Jeremiah says, look at this, know this, hear this. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, his covenant people. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. So Israel broke God's covenant that he made with them when he took them out of Egypt. Though I was their husband, their spiritual husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant, this new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, in their heart, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Point number six. With love, God foretold through Jeremiah that soon the days would come when he would make a new covenant with his people Israel, which is not like the old covenant of the law. His people had broken their agreement, that's what a covenant is, an agreement, with him many times, and had been adulterous in their relationship with God as their spiritual husband. With love, though, God would make the new covenant, which would put God's law within the hearts of his people so that they would forever be his people. This would happen through the work of Jesus, his son, the Christ, the Messiah, who is also God himself. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. God says to Israel in the new covenant, I will sprinkle clean water on you to cleanse them, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, his Holy Spirit, within you and cause you, he's going to cause them, he's going to be the cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules, to obey him like they had not previously obeyed him before. Point number seven. In the new covenant, the new agreement between God and Israel, his people would no longer have to strive in their own strength to obey him. Salvation has always been by faith in the promise of God's future salvation. But until the work of Jesus, their Messiah, Israel had continued, for the most part, to reject that salvation. With his love, God would clean the sins and idols from his people Israel. With steadfast, enduring love, he would give them a new heart and a new spirit, replacing their hearts of stone with living flesh. Through the love of his son, Jesus Christ, he would give them his Holy Spirit, who would cause them to obey his law from the heart. So what does this have to do with his creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars? Jeremiah 31 continues in verses 34 through 37 to give us the answer. And no longer in this new covenant shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Should sound familiar. This is what Jesus came to do, so that our sins could be forgiven in him. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night. This is creation. This is the sun, the moon, and the stars. Who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. This is creation that we're looking at in Genesis. The Lord of hosts is his name. He says that to declare that he is the one who decides that the sun and the moon and the stars have a fixed order, as he's about to say. It is his fixed order. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. So only if the sun and the moon and the stars and the sea with its waves end, if they stop being what they are, the sun stops rising and setting, the moon and the stars leave the sky, the waves of the ocean cease, only then shall he abandon Israel. And what he's trying to say is that he won't abandon Israel. Verse 37 goes on. Thus says the Lord. He wants us to know that he's speaking again. If the heavens above can be measured, which they cannot, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, which completely they cannot, then, God is saying, only then, I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. What is all that they have done? They have abandoned him. But he is setting up a new covenant, which he is going to be faithful to cause Israel to obey him so that he might not have to ever abandon them through Christ, of course. Point number 8. Now, in the new covenant, everyone would know God personally, and their sins would be forgiven. With God's spoken love in creation, as long as the sun and the moon and the stars will continue to give their light, and as long as the sea and the waves continue in their roaring, God will never reject Israel as his people. The loving promise of creation would be the promise of the new covenant. Only if the fixed order of God's creation would depart before him would Israel cease to be his chosen people. Only if the heavens could be measured and the foundations of the earth explored would God reject Israel. even though because of their sin they deserved to be rejected by God. He has great enduring love in Christ for Israel, his people. Why is the promise of God's faithfulness to his people, Israel, important? So important to us, the Gentiles. Because when Jesus came to fulfill his new covenant with Israel, through the work of his life, death, and resurrection, God's great mercy was extended, his promise to Israel was extended through their Messiah, Jesus, to the entire world. He is now our Messiah if we will repent of our sins and trust in him. Now, both Jew and Gentile can receive this promise of God's new covenant faithfulness in Jesus Christ through the gospel. So what is this gospel? What is this new covenant? What is the news that can save us and make us forever God's people despite our unfaithfulness, our sin? You see, we have sinned. We have abandoned God, who is our God as well. We have rejected him. We have broken his law. Every day we break his law, we sin against him. And because of that, we deserve his punishment, which is eternal hell. But God did something so that we would not have to go to hell. He's willing to make a new covenant, a covenant that is not just of the law, with us. Because we've broken his law, the covenant of the law won't save us. He sent his son to become a man, to be the Messiah, to set up this new covenant. Jesus lived a perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life. He never once broke God's law, and by trusting in him, we can receive his righteousness as our own. It can be credited to us, imputed to us, so that we have his righteousness before God. But then he went to the cross, and on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserve for our sin, so that if we trust in him, he will take the punishment for us of hell, and we can be free to no longer be under that punishment. And then Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day by the power, the same power that created the universe, created new physical life in Jesus, and through our trust in that resurrection, we have new spiritual life, and God causes us to obey him through this new covenant, through the Holy Spirit. So we must trust in Jesus and what he has done, and this new covenant, faithfulness of God, becomes ours. Genesis 1:19. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Evening and morning, another day in the creation of the world, a real day, a 24-hour day. God is almost done. Genesis 1:20-21. And God said, let the waters of the seas swarm with swarms. There was a lot of these swarms. Of living creatures, he said, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So, and it was so, it's not here, but that's what it's saying. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves within the sea, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds. There was a lot of different kinds of sea creatures. And every winged bird according to its kind. There was many different kinds of birds. And God saw that it was good. Point number 9. God speaks for the first time on the fifth day, and immediately there came into being swarms of living creatures in the waters of the earth. Birds also began to fly above the earth across the sky. There were at once, immediately, many different kinds of living sea creatures that moved within the waters. And there were many different kinds of winged birds. All of God's creation up to this point was good, meaning there was no sin or death present in any of it. So none of the living things in these first 6 days ever died. Which we must note that had these 6 days been much longer and there been thousands, tens of thousands, millions, billions of years, when nothing ever died, the earth would have been destroyed by the massive amount of creatures who weren't dying. And as I pointed out 2 weeks ago, the New Testament in Romans 5 is clear that there was not any sin or death in the creation before Adam sinned. So logically, there could not have been a much longer time with these creatures procreating, as we see in the next verse, Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them. He's offering a blessing to these creatures, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So they're procreating. There's more of them over time. Point number 10. God speaks a second and final time on the fifth day, giving a blessing to the creatures of the sea and sky. Only by his provision did they spread to fill the waters in the seas and the air in the skies. God spoke, he creates with a word, and they received his blessing to be fruitful over all the earth. It is only by God's power that any living thing can procreate. He is sovereign and in control over not just the initial creation of a living thing, but every multiplication of everything and everyone. There are no children without the sovereign blessing of God. That's how they come about. Not by some random scientific chance that the sperm unites with the egg in birth. It is by his sovereign power that his blessing that things multiply, whether that be animals, plants, or us. Genesis 1:23. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Evening, morning, one more day to go. God will crown his creation on the sixth day as he finishes his work by creating man and woman. 2 points of application. Matthew 5, 44 through 45 says, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Why? Because he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So the sun rising is his faithfulness to his enemies, which is all of us. And we are to love our enemies just as he does. Application one. Just as God shows his covenant faithfulness and mercy by speaking and causing his sun to rise each day, so we should demonstrate his love even to our enemies with faithfulness and mercy by praying for them and seeking their salvation through speaking the gospel. Let us tell people of God's great love, of his new covenant, of what his son has done, his faithfulness to Israel, and through Israel, his faithfulness to us. Acts 14, 15 through 17. Some men in the book of Acts wanted to worship the apostles instead of worshiping God. And this was the apostles' response. "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news, the gospel, that you should turn from these vain things, their sins, to a living God." Why? "He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he'd allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways." He didn't bring the gospel to the nations in the past, just Israel. "Yet, even to these nations, he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Through creation, he created the universe and sent his witness, his message, to the nations because of the sun and the moon and the stars and all of his creation that he describes in Genesis 1. Application number two. Just as God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, so he gives us his witness in creation by satisfying our hearts with food and gladness. This satisfaction we find in creation is meant to point us to his power and wisdom and glory, which should drive us to turn from vain practices, our sin, and trust in the living God through the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. When you look at what he has created, turn to God, repent of your sin, and believe in Jesus Christ, who will bring the new covenant of God's faithfulness into your life and your heart. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, you created us Father, and we will look at that next week, Father, what it means that you created us in your image. Father, you are so faithful to all of us, Father, in that you give us the sunrise each day with the heat it gives us, Father, to exist with the light it gives us, to exist with the moon and the stars, which give us light to exist, and yet they point us to a greater light, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light that is in him, the spiritual light in Jesus. Help us to love and cherish Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.